the Care Navigator on 630 KHOW Denver's Talk Station. You're with us on the Caring Generation, focusing on the conversation of caring, giving us permission to talk about aging, the challenges of caregiving, and everything in between. Whether you're a caregiver or a person needing care, facing an unexpected situation, or if you're interested in education to help you live a healthier and more informed life, you're in the right place with me every Sunday from 10 to noon. Our website, thecaringgeneration.com, features more than a year's worth of top 10 tip sheets and all of our past programs free for you to listen and share with others. Visit thecaringgeneration.com. How many of you have an interest in politics and the office of the president? How many of you have ever visited a presidential library, or do you even know that they exist? You're about to learn. Dr. Benjamin Huffbauer earned his doctorate at the University of California at Santa Barbara. He teaches art and architectural history at the University of Louisville. His book, Presidential Temples, How Memorials and Libraries Shape Public Memory, was published in 2006 by the University Press of Kansas. It was the first book to look critically at how presidents have come to control their own commemoration through large buildings that are simultaneously monuments, museums, and policy centers. Dr. Huffbauer, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Pamela.
In your article, it's called Spotlights and Shadows, presidential libraries are mentioned as being part of four elements of the civil religion of the United States. What is that?
Well, you might think if you yourself, and I bet you have been to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and I bet both,
yes,
most of your listeners have been too, you probably had almost a religious feeling as you're looking at Lincoln and the words there. That's what they're trying to create in these presidential libraries. There are throughout our history saints, people like what we consider saints, almost people like Washington or Lincoln, sacred places like Mount Vernon or the Lincoln Memorial, sacred objects like the Declaration of Independence, and then ritual practices like saying something or going to a historic site or a presidential library, even, that all of those things could be considered part of the civil religion. And so presidents today, I was thinking about your tagline for your show. It's presidential libraries are about presidents handling life's transitions with clarity, stability, but then more ego and money than the rest of us can probably imagine.
How did the first presidential library start, and who started these?
Well, that was Franklin Roosevelt way back in the 1930s. He was a great collector since he was a little kid. He collected stamps and model ships and all sorts of papers. And there had been a big problem with presidential papers before Roosevelt. George Washington had just taken his papers home to Mount Vernon, and a lot of them were, over the years, eaten by rats and molded before the Library of Congress eventually got them. So Roosevelt's idea was, what if we start a branch of the National Archives right here at my home in upstate New York and in Hyde Park, and we'll have a little museum attached to it, plus this archive of papers, and it'll be my own monument to myself, basically, that we'll build with private money that I'll raise, but then the government will run it for all time. So he was the one that started the whole ball rolling.
So you mentioned monument to myself. So these libraries might seem like they're monuments to all these presidents. What's really the purpose, though?
Well, it is a monument to the president that the president gets to build, and the president's ego and their attempt to be able to tell their own history. But there is this very useful function, is that they hold the raw materials of presidential history, and scholars and journalists and even individuals, citizens, can go into these libraries. You have to make an appointment, but go into these libraries and you can see these raw materials of history and learn the truth about what really happened.
And let's talk about that. So people go to presidential libraries because they're interested in history. What about all these negative events? Are people interested in finding out about Nixon's Watergate and JFK and all these things that weren't so pleasant?
I think sometimes they are, but if they're going to the presidential museums, they don't always get the truth, and that changes over time. For instance, for many years, if you went to the Nixon Library, you got told a story about Watergate that it was, you know, he didn't really do anything wrong, it wasn't his fault, it was just all these people were attacking him. Or if you went to the Reagan Library, you wouldn't find much about Iran-Contra, or John F. Kennedy Library, you're not going to find stuff about his infidelities and health problems and other things. Yes, they just don't want to show that bad side of them. But over time, and in part because of people who criticize them like me, I like to think, the National Archives, which runs these, has tried to get some minimum level of historical accuracy in them. So, for instance, right now, after many years of criticism, the Nixon Library is just about to open a much more historically accurate depiction of Watergate. And Reagan, I haven't been to the new displays that opened up a couple weeks ago for the 100th anniversary, but apparently now it gives some information about Iran-Contra.
And what about Truman and the atomic bomb? How's that represented?
Truman and the atomic bomb. Well, in complicated ways, Truman was the second president with a presidential library, and he was the first to have a almost full-scale replica of the Oval Office. And almost all presidents since then have wanted to create a replica of the Oval Office. And in my book, I kind of theorize, well, why is it that suddenly the Oval Office becomes this sacred room that presidents want to replicate? And I think part of it is that presidents, starting with Truman, have this atomic authority, and which we hope they use well. In the museum itself, in the Truman Museum, it gives the full story, and both sides of it, in a sense, that, well, the atomic bombs dropped on Japan at the end of World War II. They did kill a lot of civilians, but arguably they ended the war much more quickly than it would have ended otherwise. So it's a complicated and difficult picture that they talk about.
Does every president have a library?
The earlier ones don't always, because Roosevelt started it off. Some of the earlier ones, they've gone back and done for them. But basically, it starts kind of from Roosevelt, or then actually Hoover, who was before Roosevelt, copying Roosevelt, started his own. But that's kind of where they start, was with Hoover and Roosevelt.
Is there a website where people can find out where these are?
Yes, there sure is. If you just do a Google search for presidential libraries, you'll get the government's website, which is www.archives.gov/presidential-libraries. But if you just do a Google search, that'll come up. And that'll give you links to all the presidential libraries, their hours, how to visit them, and so on.
And how do people find your book if they are interested?
Well, I think it's at Amazon.
You want to give the title again?
Sure. It's called Presidential Temples.
Wonderful. Dr. Hoffbauer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Pamela. Very interesting program.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
If you are interested in learning more about the location of presidential libraries, again, you can visit the website. It's archives.gov. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator. You're with me on The Caring Generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Our program's not limited by time zone or location. Your out-of-town friends, family members, and loved ones can listen each week by visiting khow.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. Up next, more on leaving the stresses of caregiving behind, a little humor with Irma the poet, and a little bit of inspiration.